Yeah, I was thinking you're running out of Rosses to come and invite to speak at this thing. So I know what you'll do next year. But it's great to be with you. And yeah, just bring greetings from Carrigaline Baptist Church. That's where Yelena and I go along. And we're your sister church in the Lord. We pray for you regularly. And it's wonderful to be here with you guys tonight and to convey their greeting to you also. Why don't we just pray before we look at this passage together? Lord Jesus, we are truly thankful for everything that you have done in our lives. Thank you for giving us Jesus Christ, your Son. And now, as we look at your word together, open our ears to hear amazing things. Or let us be changed. Let it not just be in one ear, out the other. Lord, change our hearts this evening, we pray. Amen. So, Shannon just read out a story for us about a farmer who had a really big harvest. In fact, it was a super jumbo harvest. So big that it couldn't even fit in his barns. But what would he do with all the extra that God gave to him? What will we do with the extra that God gives to us? That's the question that's raised in this text. I encourage you to keep it open in front of you as we look through it together. And Jesus, in this text, he presents us with a choice. Either we can store up that extra that he gives us and build up our own kingdoms where we live in ever-increasing comfort and luxury, or we can give away the extra he gives us, building up God's kingdom and receiving Jesus' riches forever. Whether you're a kid or an adult here today, Jesus is telling us all the same thing. Life is not about getting and storing up money while we're here. No, in Jesus, we are free to generously give away and receive his riches forever. So let's get started. And the first thing that Jesus wants to tell us in this text is this: watch out. Life is not about storing up for yourself. And now in verse 13, we find out why Jesus told this story. Look down at verse 13 with me. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now that seems like a very reasonable request to us, doesn't it? But what we don't realize is that 2,000 years ago, in the nation of Israel, God had actually given them a specific law about how inheritances were to be given. And because of the extra responsibility that was placed on the oldest son in that society, the oldest son actually got a double portion of the inheritance compared to all the other sons. So actually, this younger sibling was coming to Jesus, and he was asking him to give an equal share of the inheritance. And Jesus sees this straight away. He's being greedy. Look at verse 14. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he turns to everyone else in the crowd and he says, "Watch out," verse 15. "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, when do you say, "Watch out"? When someone's in danger, right? Watch out, you're walking too close to the pier, you're going to fall in. Or watch out, there's a wild bullock in that field, don't go near him. That was my childhood. We say, "Watch out," whenever we're in real danger. And Jesus says, we're all in danger. We're in danger of living our lives as if it's all about getting more and more for me and my family. We're in danger of running after money and possessions and losing everything in the end. See, this man thought that if he could just get like X amount of money, then his life would be sorted. He'd never have to worry about anything again. Can anyone relate to that? I know I can. I often catch myself dreaming about some other job or salary or house, which I think would make me happy. And God calls this greed sin. But Jesus sees our hearts today. And Jesus says to you and I, he says, watch out. You're in danger of losing everything in the end, even your very soul, if you think that life is all about storing up more and more for you and your family. So Jesus responds to this greed by telling the story of the farmer with the super jumbo harvest. And here he is, look, surveying his crops, happy out. And after he'd taken in his super jumbo harvest, he took one look at his small barns and thought to himself, verse 17, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Aha, this is what I will do. Verse 18, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. There it is. Look at that for a whopper of a barn. Alan Quinn likes to look at that. The farmer continues in verse 19. He says, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. What could be wrong with that, we say? Whatever extra income you get is yours, Mr. Farmer. You earned it. You have every right to spend it whatever way you want to. Get every last bit of enjoyment out of that. But no. Look at verse 20. But God said to him, and to any of us who think the same way, you fool. You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Watch out. Life is not about storing up for yourself. You cannot bring your wealth with you when your life on this earth ends. Instead, we are to be rich towards God. Now, let's be clear. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to save money for practical things that we'll need in the future. No, the farmer had perfectly good barns to save up his harvest. He had a sensible saving scheme to ensure he could eat through the winter, right? Jesus had no problem with that. The issue was, the farmer got greedy, right? He wanted to put away far more than he actually needed. He tore down his perfectly good barns, and he built extra large ones. Jesus is condemning our excessive storing away of money and possessions, and our trusting in them to give us the good life. There is so much more to life than that, Jesus says. And he gives us the alternative. Instead of storing up more and more for yourself, in Jesus, we are free to generously give away and build his kingdom. Now, what's your first reaction to that? Well, I instantly begin to worry. Because whether you're a kid or an adult here, it doesn't matter how much extra money you actually have. We all have something extra left over. And we all know that giving away that money means you're going to have less to spend yourself. We worry that if we give away generously, we won't have enough for ourselves. And the whole point of storing up big is that I will be financially stable. I won't have to worry about anything. I'll always have enough. And Jesus says, that's trusting in your money to keep you safe, not trusting in me. Jesus' first point was, watch out. Life is not about storing up for yourself. And his second point is this, don't worry. God will provide everything that you need. Look at verse 22 with me. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. That's really important to remember. Our lives are so much more than the stuff we have or don't have on these few short years on earth. Look at verse 24. Jesus continues, he says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? And just to prove his point all the more, verse 27, he says this, consider how the wild flowers grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith. See, that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. When we worry that we won't have enough money, the real problem beneath is that we don't have faith in our Father's care for us. In God, we have the best Father imaginable. Verse 30 tells us that he knows exactly what we need before we ask. And even more important, he doesn't just know what you need. He delights to give it to you. It's not a chore for him. Like a loving father delights to provide food, clothing, and shelter for their kids, so our Father in heaven longs to provide for us. How much more evidence do we need to know that God is going to provide our every need? And you know, this knowledge actually frees us to do something else, something better with our extra money. God says to us today, good news. You are free to give generously and receive Jesus' riches forever. Look with me at verse 29. Jesus says this, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world, those who don't know God, run after all such things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's what Jesus wants us to do with our extra money. We seek first his kingdom, not just with our money, with our whole life. Whether you're a kid or an adult, the command is the same. Make building up God's kingdom your first priority, not building up our little kingdoms. That means using our money to help more and more people hear about Jesus too, so they can enter God's eternal kingdom. That could look like giving to your church or a mission agency, but in verse 33, Jesus gives us a specific example. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, I found this picture of a purse. It's not mine. I don't store my money in that. Now, I don't know what you store your money in at home. Maybe you've got an actual piggy bank. Or maybe you're like me and your wallet just sits on the shelf. I actually picked it up off the shelf today. I can't remember the last time I brought it out of the house. Because now I use my phone to pay for everything. Maybe for you it's a Revolut account, or a piggy bank or some investments that you've made in shares or property, whatever it is that you've saved into, I want you to think about it right now. Jesus tells you that that thing is going to wear out. It's not going to last. And the day that you die, it's going to slip through your fingers like sand. Don't fill up your money purses here on earth, Jesus says. Instead, look at verse 33. Provide purses for yourselves in heaven that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. You see, when we freely give away our money to help other people hear about Jesus, we're investing in the one thing that's going to last forever. People. We are all that's going to last from this world. Our souls go on forever. And what is going to matter in heaven? Will it be the house we lived in? Or the car we drove? Or the cool toys we had? No. When we're there, all that's actually going to matter is this. The people around you who also heard about Jesus and believed and were given the gift of eternal life. And here's the thing. Here's the awesome privilege. We get to spend our money and spend our lives helping as many people as possible to be there with Jesus too. We get to do that. That is the treasure you are building in heaven every time you give generously to others. You're adding to a heavenly investment that will reap dividends for eternity. It's a treasure that won't fade. It'll last forever. So the good news is this. You're free to give generously and receive Jesus' riches forever. And this is all made possible because of Jesus. Just think about him for a second. He is the richest person that ever existed. All of heaven and earth belongs to him. He speaks galaxies into existence. He's richer than our wildest dreams, yet he willingly became poor. The day he was born, he arrived in an animal shed. The day he died, all he had to his name were the clothes on his back. But that was not the extent of his poverty. When Jesus died, he took all of our sin on himself. He was crushed by God the Father, even though he lived a life of perfect obedience. He was humiliated for our greed and selfishness. He was brought lower than anyone could ever imagine. But why did Jesus allow himself to become so poor? 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. This is not rich in money or houses or toys. This is rich in Christ. If you believe in Christ today as having died for your sin, God says your sin no longer condemns you. All who believe in Jesus receive the incalculable gift of eternal life with him. You are welcomed as a precious child of God, an heir to all of heaven. You cannot buy this. You can't earn it. It's a gift that is freely given through the most costly sacrifice ever made, Jesus' death for you. He became poor so that through his poverty you could become rich. So I just want to ask the question, have you received that free gift of forgiveness that Jesus offers you? Or do you think that money and houses and toys are what you need most? Don't be like the farmer who thought that life was all about storing up more and more for himself, but who ended up losing everything in the end, even his very soul. Don't miss the real treasure. Receive Jesus as your Savior. And invest the extra that God gives you in helping others meet Jesus too. Because whenever you've got Jesus, you're free to give generously and receive Jesus' riches forever. I just want to finish with a story. It's a story about a man I knew who actually lived this out. He was a farmer too. He worked a large farm with both animals and crops. And when I was a kid, I remember he had such a large harvest that he didn't need all of the straw bales he made. So he offered them to my dad, who worked a small farm with no crops. I remember traveling to his farm in September time to stack the bales up high, like really high, on his flatbed trailer. And once we'd done that job and strapped everything in, he'd hop up into the cab of his big gray tractor, and he'd drive this massive load of bales for 2 hours to my dad's farm. And you'd have to go 2 hours back, remember? And you know what? He could have kept it for himself, but he chose to give generously. And this wasn't a once-off. I know for a fact that with the extra money he received from his farm, this man used to support mission agencies around the world to tell people about Jesus who had never heard. His name was Bernie Clark, and many people here knew and loved him very dearly. And as he walked with Jesus, he realized life was not about storing up more and more and more for himself. Instead, he gave away generously to build up God's kingdom so that more people would hear about Jesus. Bernie invested in a treasure in heaven which would last forever, one which he's enjoying right now in the presence of his Savior. I want that to be my story too, don't you? Let us obey Jesus' command and give generously out of the abundance that he has given us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the eternal riches you offer us in knowing and serving Jesus. We are sorry for the times that we have wasted our money and our lives living for our own kingdoms. Help us to spend our money and our lives building up treasure that will last forever, helping more people hear about your amazing grace. And for anyone who is here today that has yet to receive that gift, we pray that today would be the day that they would say yes to Jesus. For his glory, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our last song now.